नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् न सप्रेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भागवत्युत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी. Reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 5, Text 17, 18, 19, and 20. This is the second half of Text 20. Samahitena Manasa Sangsmaran Purushang Param Uvachot Pula Vadano Devansa Bhagavan Paraha. So the entire shloka, Sa Vilokyendra Vaivadim Nisatvang Vigata Prabhan Lokan Amangala Prayan Asuran Ayata Vibhu Samat Hitena Manasa Sangsmaran Purushang Param Uvachat Pula Vadanang Devansa Bhagavan Paraha. Saha Lord Brahma Vilokya, looking over Indra Vayu Adin, all the demigods headed by Lord Indra and Vayu, Nisatvan, bereft of all spiritual potency, Vigata Prabhan, bereft of all effulgence, Lokan, all the three worlds, Amangala Prayan, merged into misfortune, Asuran, all the demons, Ayata, flourishing, Vibhu, Lord Brahma, the supreme within this material world, Samahitena, by full adjustment, Manasa, of the mind, Sangsmaran, remembering again and again, Purusham, the Supreme Person, Param, transcendental, Uvacha, said, Utpula Vadanaha, bright-faced, Devan, unto the demigods, Saha, he, Bhagavan, the most powerful, Paraha, of the demigods. Translation, purport by His Divine Grace, Abhaya Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Upon seeing that the demigods were bereft of all influence and strength, and that the three worlds were consequently devoid of auspiciousness, and upon seeing that the demigods were in an awkward position, whereas all the demons were flourishing, Lord Brahma, who is above all the demigods and who is most powerful, concentrated his mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus being encouraged, he became bright-faced and spoke to the demigods as follows. Is it 15? Is it 15? 17 through? So 17 and 18. Lord Indra, Varuna, and the other demigods, seeing their lives in such a state, consulted among themselves, but they could not find any solution. Then all the demigods assembled and went together to the peak of Sumeru Mountain. There in the assembly of Lord Brahma, they fell down to offer Lord Brahma their obeisances, and then they informed him of all the incidents that had taken place. Again, the translation. Upon seeing that demigods were bereft of all influence and strength, and that the three worlds were consequently devoid of auspiciousness, and upon seeing the demigods were in an awkward position, whereas all the demons were flourishing, Lord Brahma, who is above all the demigods and who is most powerful, concentrated his mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus being encouraged, he became bright-faced and spoke to the demigods as follows. Srila Prabhupada's purport. After hearing from the demigods the real situation, Lord Brahma was very much concerned because the demons were unnecessarily so powerful. When demons become powerful, the entire world is placed in an awkward position, because demons are simply interested in their own sense gratification and not in the welfare of the world. Demigods or devotees, however, are concerned with the welfare of all living beings. Srila Rupa Goswami, for example, left his ministership and went to Vrindavan for the benefit of the entire world. Lokanang Hitakaranau. This is the nature of a saintly person or demigod. Even impersonalists think of the welfare of all people. Thus, Brahma was very much concerned at seeing the demons in power. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Didati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavanscha Shri Rupam Sagradatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sabadhutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanditamscha. Hey Krishna, Karuna Sindhu, Dinabandhu, Jagatpate, Gopesha, Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta, Namostute, Tapta Kanchana, Gaurangye, Radhe Vrindavaneshwari, Vrishabhanu Sutidevi, Mami Hare Priye, Vanchakalpa, Turubhyascha, Kripa Sindhubhyevacha, Patitanam, Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo, Namo Namaha, Jai Shri Krishna, Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita, Gadadhar, Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we're seeing how the devotees, the demigods, were feeling the pressure of the demoniac power in rule. So this is the nature of the material world. We see that people are basically interested in money, big enterprises, control, power, you know, physical pleasures. Even when the Hussein Shah, he gave the administration of his whole kingdom to Sanatan Goswami and Rupa Goswami, because he was an emperor. His business was conquering people, enjoying wealth, and exploiting whatever pleasures are available in a material world. That's what they want. They want this very much. But here is described that Lord Brahma, after seeing that the demigods were in an awkward situation, even Krishna, yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata, Abhutanang dharmasya tadatmanang sarajamyaham. He sees the suffering of the living entities, the demigods. He's always coming to their rescue. The Lord will appear very quickly, very soon, to make a remedy to all this. And it's all very dramatically being performed. Here, Lord Brahma is described as the supreme amongst the demigods, and he went into deep meditation. He wanted to get the inspiration from the Lord. Just like in the very first verse, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Janmadyasyaya Tonvayaditaratashchateshu Vigyaswara, Tene Brahma Hridayadikavayemuyanti Asurya. The Narada Muni, when hearing from Lord Brahma, was worshipping, but Lord Brahma indicated that I'm not the Supreme. Supreme Lord in my heart, I don't know if he said in my heart, but he said the Supreme Lord, Krishna, he's giving, Vasudev, he's giving this knowledge, this understanding. So this realization of all the Vedas, of the goal of life, you know, how in Abhideya, how to achieve the goal of life. Any intelligent, inquisitive person will want to know, what is the purpose of life? What is the purpose of the creation? Who am I? Why am I here in this world? Why am I forced to suffer? Everywhere I look, people are looking for happiness. They cannot find it. So all this truth was revealed because Krishna's Sarvasya Chahang Hridi Sanavishtam Matat Smriti Gyanam Apohanang Cha. He's giving knowledge in the heart. Vedaischa Sarvar Aham Eva Vedya. So Krishna is the source of all the Veda. Veda means knowledge. There are many philosophers, many theories, many scriptures. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Varanasi, Benares, Prakashananda Saraswati and all the great philosophers were giving their philosophy, their idea, following Sripad Shankaracharya. So there are many philosophies and conclusion that the absolute truth comes from the impersonal Brahman, or through logic and reason one can understand the Supreme Lord, or the Lord is obliged by our karmic activities. If I'm doing good, the Lord is obliged to give me good results. Even Krishna was preaching that philosophy during the Govardhan Leela. So what Lord Brahma revealed, and he became bright-faced because Krishna's illuminating. Krishna's the light, the source of light. Krishna's all knowledge, perfect knowledge, supreme knowledge. So Lord Brahma, being empowered by Krishna, he diffused it to Narada Muni, the great saint. Sri Narada Muni is traveling all over the universe, playing on his veena, singing the glories of Krishna, singing the Maha Mantra, enlightening all those emperors, all the kings, practically throughout the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. Narada Muni is the impetus for everyone's awakening to spiritual consciousness, practically dragging people out of their ignorance. And Narada Muni disclosed the same truth to Sri Vyasadeva, who is actually Krishna himself, who is actually an incarnation of the Supreme Lord. But showing the example of Guru Parampara, Lord Brahma submissively heard from Krishna, Narada Muni heard from Lord Brahma, Srila Vyasadeva is hearing from Narada Muni. And what did Srila Vyasadeva do? He studied, scrutinized all the Vedic literatures. The Chatushloki of Srimad Bhagavatam is described that even though he did massive, Mahabharata and all the Brahma Sutra, so much literature is there, very vast. Most people, especially in the age of Kali Yuga, will be totally confused. What is right? What is wrong? What to do? What not to do? What to follow? Probably mostly fall asleep during the reading process. But Vyasadeva boiled it down, and still he was not satisfied. So Narada Muni, as a pastime, my dear Prabhu, why you're dissatisfied? Although so much literature and so much philosophy, logic and reason, the goal of life is being presented, still, you have not sufficiently glorified the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That what it boils down to, that the Supreme is not some impersonal light, or some logic and reason, or word jugglery. The Supreme is a person. We're all persons. Krishna is a Supreme Person. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchir Ananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karnam. So he's the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the Lord himself is revealing it throughout Bhagavad Gita and throughout Srimad Bhagavatam. And it's described that when one actually tastes the flavor of Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a certain transcendental flavor. Once you've experienced the flavor of Srimad Bhagavatam, you'll feel that what is the use of any other literature? That one is fully satisfied and fully enlivened to hear this message. Not only is Vyasadev giving the supreme message, but it's becoming sweeter. His son Shukadev Goswami again makes it sweeter. All the different acharyas are making it sweeter. Srila Prabhupada made it the sweetest for all of us. Who can translate in English Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhagavat Purana? And who can give as it is, as Vyasadev gave this philosophy? It's not that we're simply on speculation or faith, that we're simply blindly following some charismatic leader, you know, just because of he looks very eccentric. No, Srila Prabhupada is giving us in a very humble way the absolute truth. And of course, when we're presenting the absolute truth, we have to consider the time, the place, the circumstance, and the audience. You know, who is actually hearing? So in Kali Yuga, this is our age of Kali Yuga, Kali Kaler Dharma Krishna Nam Sankirtan. That this, the only way we can actually fight the influence of the demoniac dominion, but that's to be expected in the material world, is a place of the desire for sense gratification. Once we leave Krishna and we leave the spiritual kingdom in the mood of serving Krishna with love, devotion, without expectation, very enthusiastically dedicating ourselves, because that's our nature. Once we leave that spiritual atmosphere, we're thrown down to material atmosphere, and this maya, this illusion, like a poison infection. Many people have had infections, change of weather, that infection of a desire to enjoy the material world takes over. Then the mind is convinced and the intelligence is convinced that I'm going to put all my time, all my energy to get ahead in this world. You know, I need a good education and I need to make plans how I'm going to become number one. You know, I want to have so much wealth and so much abundance that then I'll be fully satisfied. Yeah. When asked by Lord Nrisimhadev, Prahlad Maharaj, you're not afraid of anything? I saw that the demigods are afraid of Lord Nrisimhadev, Lakshmi is afraid of Lord Nrisimhadev, Brahma, Shiva, everyone's afraid of Lord Nrisimhadev, but you're not afraid. Oh no, I'm afraid. What are you afraid of? I'm afraid of this vicious cycle of birth and death, of being illusioned by material life. I don't mind taking birth anywhere, even in an insect's body, if I can have the association of devotees. So this is the power of devotional service. But it doesn't come simply by our own efforts, by reading. Oh, I'm going to sit down and read all day long. I'm going to chant and read. It's good. This is very good. But you need the blessings of the pure devotee. Without taking shelter of the uncontaminated, unalloyed devotee, one cannot awaken this devotional service, which is essential. Bhakti yoga, devotional service, are these the only means by which to awaken our love for God. So Srila Prabhupada is giving his blessings in the form of giving this guidance, the literature. We've all heard the one story when Narada Muni was traveling and he saw these animals in the forest. They were pierced by an arrow and their legs were broken and they were squirming and suffering. Like all of us, we're squirming, we're suffering in this material world. Maya's shooting arrows and keeping us bound to suffer. And he saw a deer suffering, and then he saw, you know, a different animal, a rabbit suffering. And the hunter was there, Megrari, and he went off the main path, and then by coming to where the hunter was, all the animals ran away. And the hunter said, hey, he wanted to chastise Narada Muni, but because of Narada Muni's influence and power, he could not speak negatively. He said, oh, if you need something, you want something, I'll give it to you, but don't disturb my work. He said, no, I have one question. I've noticed that there are many animals which are half dead and suffering and struggling. He goes, oh yeah, they're mine. They're mine. He said, but why not kill them all the way? Why let them suffer? Oh, from my very birth I was taught this way. This is, you know, actually by seeing the suffering of the other of living entities gave me great pleasure. Prabhupada also speaks about one person in Calcutta or someplace it was. The little boy was in the yard and he cut the head of the chicken while the chicken's running around, you know, jumping, flipping around. The man is laughing and the boy is crying. Why are you crying? Why are you crying? So one becomes very cruel, very hard-hearted in the material world. And this is the distinction that one who is developing devotional qualities, he naturally becomes soft-hearted, gentle, titikshava karunika suhrida sarvadehanam. That he becomes a friend of all living entities. He wants to give benefit, to free the person from suffering. So Narada Muni explained to him, Megrari, the hunter, that it's better that you kill them, because by forcing them to suffer, then these living entities, you're getting a lot of karma. They'll come back, those animals, and kill you repeatedly. And because of Narada Muni's spiritual status, Megrari, he thought, oh, yeah, it makes sense, you know, I'm causing suffering. Not that he was very philosophical, but at the same time, due to the influence of a great saint, he felt that what I'm doing in this world, there's going to be a reaction. Everyone who's not engaged in devotional service is engaged in sense gratification and is engaged under the influence of the demoniac power. I mean, demon is not just some person with fangs, and anyone who's not recognizing the Supreme Lord and surrendering or serving the Lord is categorized in a demonic, being influenced by demonic nature. So Narada Muni explained to him, he said, okay, what should I do? That first thing is you break your bow. He said, oh, how will I live? Don't worry, I'll take care of everything. You and your wife, you go on the bank of the Ganges, build a little hut, give away all your possessions, only bring one set of cloth. And so now the faith factor has to come in, that I need enough faith in my spiritual master that Krishna will provide. Prabhupada was speaking how, you know, he came to America, we know, with no money, not knowing anyone, how will I eat, who will protect me? And we see as missionary workers in Srila Prabhupada's society, sometimes we have to have faith that Krishna will provide, and we go to strange lands or strange places and try to spread the message of Krishna consciousness. So that faith in the spiritual master is very important. So Krishna, through Narada Muni, arranged that the local villagers, when they heard that this hunter, this person was causing so much pain, it was very, you know, how do you say, demonic natured. Him and his wife became devotees, and they have Tulsi Devi there. All day long they're chanting the holy name, bathing in Ganga, worshipping Tulsi Devi, and developing these godly qualities. So everyone in the village, they brought some alms and offerings, but it became so much you could feed 10, 20, 30 people. So Narada Muni came with his friend Parvat Muni. Narada Muni has so many friends. So they came, he wanted to show his disciples, it's been some time. And when they came, the disciple wanted to offer obeisances, but he was moving this way, that way, jumping, avoiding the ants. So Parvat Muni said to Narada Muni, just see your power, just by your influence, this demonic person has become a devotee. He's become so conscientious that he's not even, he's just gently brushing the ants aside instead of killing them. As children, sometimes you see they catch flies and they pull the wings off, or they smash bugs and they think, hey, this is okay. You know, you've seen that the demonic mentality come out. But this is like a little Megraris, you know, we're training up little demoniac people. That's everyone else, we can squash them and kill them, but as long as I'm in a good position. So Parvat Muni was appreciating Narada Muni's spiritual potency, and someone who was of demonic influence and misguided felt so much enlivened by the spiritual direction of Sri Narada Muni. So Brahma, Lord Brahma, he's becoming bright-faced and glowing because he's going to give the message to the demigods. The Lord will come and he'll save us again. So Sanatan and Rupa Goswami, they were great ministers in the estimation, very learned, very rich philosophers, all good qualities. And when in Prayag, Rupa Goswami was instructed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Rupa Goswami felt, I have no power unless you empower me. How am I going to do this? So the Lord entered into Rupa Goswami and enlightened him and empowered him that you go to Vrindavan and you teach the bhakti process. Sanatan Goswami, when he's instructing for 2 months, revealed the Atma Rama verse, and so many discussions were there. Sanatan Goswami felt totally unqualified. He said, everyone considers me very learned, that I know so many languages and I'm very this, but I don't know who I am. So without your mercy, I am very fallen. And these ministers who are being bowed down to by a very wealthy aristocratic people, they would put a straw in their mouth and they wouldn't even come close to the Lord, feel, no, I'm contaminated, I'm very low. Even when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is discussing with Prakashananda Saraswati in Benares, he says, oh, I am so low, I shouldn't even approach you. I'm not even fit to be a disciple of your disciple. So Prakashananda Saraswati says, no, it's not like that. I actually offended you by criticizing your behavior. But now I've seen that you're actually the supreme absolute truth. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not want to accept that. He's the Vishnu, Sri Vishnu. Never say that an ordinary person is the Supreme Lord. Never accept such a conditioned soul. Not even the demigods. You should not consider Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva as a supreme. Otherwise you become an atheist. So, this is there. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was setting the example of humility, but at the same time teaching by his personal behavior. In one sense he's saying, I am very fallen, but then he's manifesting the knowledge and effulgence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When he went to Benares, Varanasi, he said, I came with all this treasure of love of Godhead, thinking I would distribute this message of Godhead, but I had no takers. They're all impersonalists and so many philosophers and Mayavadi and this and that. And all the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thought, oh, he'll have to take all his fruits of love of Godhead back. So, but somehow they got inspired, and then he flooded them with this message of Krishna consciousness. And this is the mood of Srila Prabhupada. He just felt such determination. Even there was only a few followers after some time, but he felt that International Society for Krishna Consciousness, and devotees are thinking, if the Lower East Side is about 3 or 4 followers, let us all become members of this International Society for Krishna Consciousness. But this is the vision of a pure devotee and the determination. If Srila Prabhupada came in on a luxury jet, stepped off, and then all of a sudden everybody surrendered, then you think, okay, that's not possible. How's anybody going to actually even try to replicate such a fantastic feat? But no, He struggled in India. He struggled, apparently struggling, even though he was sitting next to Rupa Goswami in Vrindavan Dham, fully satisfied with the nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam, fully satisfied, relishing the mellows of love of God. Even Sanatana Goswami was instructed, you go to Vrindavan. Oh, there's one story of Sabuti Roy. He was actually made a Mohammedan by being sprinkled water on him. And he went to Varanasi to find out from them what is the solution. And some people gave some impractical suggestion that, well, you drink hot ghee and kill yourself, and that's the only solution. Others said, no, it's not such a major offense. So he asked Lord Chaitanya, he said, well, what should I do? He said, immediately you go to Vrindavan, you chant the holy name of the Lord incessantly in the holy Dham, and by this constant hearing and chanting of the holy name, you get free of sinful reactions, and then you'll experience the symptoms of preliminary love for God. We speak about it, and we hear about it, but the symptoms of actually experiencing great relish to hear the holy name or to render service to the Lord is far away from us in one sense. It's a rare achievement to achieve the pure devotional service. Very rarely Krishna is awarding such benefits. If one wants material accomplishment, you can worship Lord Shiva, he's Ashutosh. He's very easily satisfied, but don't irritate him because he's very easily irritated. And you come for your blessing, he says, yeah, take your blessing and get away and go ahead. Here's your blessing, no problem. He's very liberal. And Lord Brahma, he gives, but you have to perform a little bit harder austerity, like Hiranyakashipu had to perform some big austerity. But Vishnu, he's not going to give you some mundane material achievements, because these kind of things will only entangle us further in the complications of the samsara, repeated birth and death. Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, gave the blessings to the Goswamis, empowered the six Goswamis to write literatures. These same literatures that Vyasadeva, Brahma, Narada, the Guru Parampara is giving. Again, he wanted to revitalize what is Vrindavan, what is Radhakund, what is Govardhan? What is pure devotional service? What it means to take shelter of a pure devotee, serve Vaishnavas. They would offer repeated dandavats for the devotees in appreciating all the activities of those who are serving the Lord. So this mood of appreciation and living very simply. Sanatana Goswami, he would not live on concrete structures. He'd only live under different trees and bushes. So don't worry if we kick you out of the brahmachari ashram. There's lots of trees and bushes. Become a Goswami. We talk about it, but if the hot water tank's not working, we're really upset. You know, it's like, oh my God. And it's not even that cold yet. But not that we artificially take austerities and try to imitate the activities of such great personalities as the Goswamis, but the fact that they had opportunity for all opulence and all that money can buy. Raghunath Das was offered the most beautiful princess, unlimited wealth. He didn't want to deal with that. You know, he wanted simply to surrender to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami had so much power and so much wealth. But immediately upon meeting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they surrendered and gave up everything for the purpose of helping the conditioned souls in the material world. This is the mood that we want to give this knowledge to others. And Srila Prabhupada was so happy to hear how Krishna consciousness is spreading. Isn't it? When new books would arrive, he'd take the book and very happily, especially fifth canto, he was appreciating all the pictures of the hellish planets, how people, not the suffering, but the idea that here's a way out You know, if you're going to the slaughterhouse, everybody's going to the slaughterhouse. You're going to be slaughtered. And somebody pulls you out of line and says, look, I have a way that you can not be slaughtered repeatedly or tortured and suffered. You've got my attention. Tell me. So we need to actually wake up, Jeev Jago, go to Chandra Bole. So the Lord is calling everyone. He's ordering everyone. You take this message of Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and you distribute it. Not only just for ourselves, you know, like when you steal some Mahaprasad, those custard-filled donuts full of nice chocolate, you hide in your room and eat them by yourself. You might share it once in a while. It's not like that. This is the real nectar. Bhagavatam is real nectar. And I remember a long time ago, we used to go every day to the airport or the boat ports or the streets, you know, we'd do Sankirtan. And sometimes the mind would disturb. Oh, you have to meet so many people. You know, you got to get out of your comfort zone. It'd be so much better just to have some Mahaprasad and sit in the temple and enjoy the beauty of the deities, chant Hare Krishna, be happy. But by taking the austerity of, okay, fighting the mind and doing your duty. You know, duty is a very respectable appreciation. If somebody can actually be regulated, reliable, accountable, dependable, and actually do his duty enthusiastically, recognizing that by my performing this activity, I'm giving pleasure to my spiritual master. Then becomes a personal connection that my order from the guru, from my spiritual master, is to go out and preach Krishna consciousness. So although my mind is disturbing, I'm a little tired, I'm not really feeling it. So Prabhupada said, we'd lay down for like 7 minutes on the floor, the bell would ring, get a snap. Prabhupada said, you feeling tired? Take a snap. But if you sleep more than like 7, 8 minutes, then you go, the ignorance seems to take over, and then you become even more tired. But you bounce up, go on the battlefield and do it. And then during the act of Sankirtan, glorification of the Lord, or book distribution, approaching the conditioned, suffering, living entities, Krishna somehow gives you a taste. A taste awakens in the process of Sankirtan that it's time to leave now. No, just one more. Then you start feeling very ecstatic or happy that you perform the yajna, the sacrifice. So Krishna Varnam Trisha Krishnam Sangopangastra Parashadam Jagnai Sankirtan Prayar Yajantihi Sumedasaha. So we all have to perform our duties of trying to spread Krishna consciousness. And the best process, we're in Sri Vrindavan Dham, it's recommended like that. Prabhupada is very kind. He says, well, if you can't be in Vrindavan, just think of Vrindavan or meditate on Vrindavan. Sometimes, you know, in the West or wherever you may be, we may think of Vrindavan, but, you know, our power of mental capacity is very limited. But when you're here and you're hearing the bells and the devotees and, you know, Hari Bol, Hare Krishna, Radhe Radhe, so many beautiful people wanting to have Krishna. Serve Krishna, glorify Krishna. And the Goswamis were sent here by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to reawaken devotional service. So we're part of that lineage. We're part of that Guru Parampara. And we have an opportunity. There, you know, became very famous MLMs, right? Multi-level marketing. Oh, you know, come to Amway or come to this company, that company, you have a ground floor opportunity to make fabulous wealth. Oh yes, people are driven. They work very hard. They contact all their relatives, all their friends, and they go through lists, and they go through weekly, daily seminars and pep talks and get fired up. You know, they get really enthusiastic. What's the end result? I'll become rich. So the real multi-level marketing opportunity is here in Krishna consciousness, that if you come to Krishna's family, it's not a cheap thing. There are rules and regulations. Get up early, chant your rounds of Hare Krishna mantra, worship Tulsi Devi, worship the deities, read Srimad Bhagavatam, hear Srimad Bhagavatam, distribute Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, offer prasad, receive prasad, associate, be nice, be friendly. That's the hard part, you know, how to be nice and friendly. Someone's irritating you, get away, you know. And you feel bad later that, why was I so harsh? I should have been nicer. We all should be nicer and try to appreciate our very good fortune of having an opportunity to serve Srila Prabhupada in Sri Vrindavan Dham. And this is some points here from the verse. Rupa Goswami's going to Vrindavan and for the benefit of the entire world, Srila Prabhupada coming to America for the benefit of the whole world. The demons, it's expected, will give us difficult time. It's very rampant suffering and misery of the material existence. What to speak of repeated birth and death? Prabhupada tells a story that he's lecturing at a university that don't misuse this rare human life, because if you misuse this life, in your next life you could become a dog, or you could become a pig. And the university students said, well, what is the harm of becoming a dog? You forget that you're a human. You can have sex on the street, and what's so bad about being a dog? So this is the basic low understanding or the limited capacity. We should not waste this very rare human form of life and take the risk of being thrown again into the cycle of birth and death. It's too much suffering involved there. So you have a first class ticket on the Vaikuntha plane back to Goloka Vrindavan. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We have a few minutes for questions, if anyone has a question or comment. Oh, of course, Karbhajana. Oh, today's Karbhajana's birthday. Wish him a happy birthday. Hare Krishna. Give him his microphone. 70 years old, just see. The body's getting older, but he stays youthful inside because he's serving Krishna. Thank you.
Because of Krishna, we are
No.
But food for soul, sometimes we miss. We don't feel that we are missing. So can you say something?
So nobody misses the prasadam at the prasadam hall. But sometimes, even though we're hearing Bhagavatam daily, we're not getting the taste. Yes, we have to focus. We have to focus on that repeated hearing. I was telling one devotee yesterday. I said, okay, I'm reading this chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita. I know I'm not qualified. I don't really have the taste that's being described, the symptoms of one advancing in devotional life. But having a little bit of Shraddha, that I've been told by my Guru Maharaj to repeatedly hear Bhagavatam, to stay in the association of devotees, and the more we hear and glorify Krishna, then gradually that knot in the heart is loosened. The dirt is cleaned. And almost like spontaneously, you become attracted. You have a distaste for materialistic life. You don't want to do the things materialists are doing. You want to be in Bhagavatam to hear about Krishna. You want to be in the prasadam hall, taking nice prasadam. You want to do service. Not that you're hiding. Where's the temple commander? Temple commander's coming. Hide, run. No. You want to? I finished my seva, Prabhu. I finished this. What else can I do? What else can I do? Who has that mentality that this is my time for service, that I should be available and I should be enthusiastic to do my service? Not just I have a nice place to eat and sleep. I have nice prasad. I can chant a few rounds and Krishna will pay all the bills. No problem. electric bill, security bill, and you know, to maintain such an establishment takes crores and crores. But we should utilize Krishna sending, that's okay. We should also be part of this machinery and assist Prabhupada in helping. And then the taste will come. So the Bhagavatam will come. Thank you. Where are you? Oh, there you are. What's that? Brigadi, huh? Atheist. I don't think he thought about it much. He was just like a karmi. He was doing his work to maintain his family. He grew up in that tradition. His father taught him, you know, you hunt, you get the furs, and you make money, and you take care of your family. So most people have that kind of consciousness. For someone, he may have been a theist or an atheist, but I don't think he even contemplated too much about that. That's my own personal opinion, but it's described that once he came in the association of a great saintly person, then he realized that, yes, what I'm doing is wrong. You know, whether atheist, theist, even the four Kumaras were impersonalists, but when they smelled the tulsi from the saffron lotus feet of the Lord, they were attracted, they became attracted. So the Lord's pastimes, the great Vaishnavas, will attract one to give up his atheism, give up his materialism. That's the prasadam bell. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai.